Welcome back to the Helpful Gardeners podcast. I'm seriously fangirling.
No, you've been buzzing all week.
Because we're joined by two of the coolest ladies in the gardening landscape, Cheryl Normandoe and Janet Melrose. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Well, for anyone who doesn't know who these lovely humans are, they are the authors of the Prairie Gardeners Go To series, which is right here. You can see all of the books that are on our table. This has actually been a staple in Golden Acre because every department has one of these books and they always reference these books. And when they found out you were coming, they were like, what? They were like, seriously? So really excited. I mean, you have books on everything from small spaces, pests, seeds, herbs, perennials, veggies. And what's really cool is that it's for the prairie gardener. Mm-hmm. And I think in a digital world like this, with so much general information, it's really nice to have a series to go to where you know that if you read it, this is going to be pertinent to you, pertinent to your zone, to your situation. And I'm really excited to just kind of dive into your latest edition, which is called Grasses.
Yes.
And the reason why we want to dive into this one, I don't know if you know this, but one of our gardening resolutions, our intentions for 2024, Colin and I did this episode at the beginning of the year. And mine was, and I read, who knew grass was so diverse? Isn't it just grass? In the prairies, grassland is an important part of the ecosystem. There's different varieties, and I'm on a journey to learn about plants. So why not learn about the ones that make our home special, right? So my whole, one of my New Year's intentions was to press and learn about Southern Albertan grasses.
Okay.
How naive was I? I was like, there's probably four. No, there's a whole book, Randy.
Yeah.
A whole book. My work's cut out for me. But I'm really excited to learn because going through your book, and I love how it's all laid out too, because it's really approachable. You go in there, and if you're looking for a specific issue, it's a bold question at the top that sounds like a question that I would be asking. And then it goes into a whole page. It's nice and summarized, but it goes into just enough detail to make you feel, you know, like you can feel confident. And
I appreciated that because I find that can be two approaches. And I'm sure you guys were very aware of it when you did it, because you've got the approach where you can go real deep into the world of horticulture and the average person, three sentences in, their eyes are glazing over.
Exactly.
Or you can go, and for want of a better term, you can dumb it down too much.
And then
people are like, is this a kid's book? They don't take you serious. And you guys nailed the tone.
Oh, okay. Well,
thank you so much.
That's what we were shooting for.
So. What inspired you to create this kind of series?
Well, actually, it was all the questions we've been asked over the years. So Janet does a bunch of different she does a bunch of workshops, all kinds of talks, and I do a lot of online, you know, social media questions, that kind of thing. It was stuff that people have been asking us and asking over and over again.
Yeah,
we were thinking, let's talk about this stuff. You know, let's put it all in. We were originally going to do one book, which would have been the biggest book on the planet. We actually, when we proposed it was over 100 questions. And we were thinking one volume, but then the publisher was like, no.
They saw the vision.
So they were absolutely thrilled about, you know, putting them into different volumes and making them as a series.
Why did you guys, and in this age, Brandy just touched on this, and I love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I found these, I brought them in, I was so excited. When digital came out, books just ground to a halt.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't need books, I don't need libraries, I got Google. And then we had a couple of people asking, and I was like, I need to find books, and yours was one of the series I came across, I brought it in, wonderful. In this day and age, with everything digital and blogs and Google and everything else, why did you guys decide to go old school and do a book, which I adore? But what, why was this your intention?
Why is it in print? Why is it an ebook?
Well, partly because I love books.
You can end it there.
Well, you know, to me, I'll use Google, but the information is, it could be for Newfoundland or BC or Arizona.
That's exactly
or none of it. So is the information accurate? Is it pertinent? Is it true? Is the other thing. And we get people always asking us, you know, is this for our time? Is this for mm-hmm. our world? Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. You know, we live this world of the prairies.
Yeah.
So that's why we went regional and rather than trying to be all things to all people. We wanted to make it because really how many books are written for Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba?
Yeah. Exactly. You know, it definitely feels like one of those books that you can even, they look so beautiful. Oh. So you don't want to dirty them, but like, it feels like something you can bring into the garden.
Well,
right?
that's the goal. Yeah. We were, that's what we were thinking of, you know, Park them in your bag when you go out to the garden.
Get them grubby.
Yeah, get them dirty. So, for sure.
Yeah, because
it's like a recipe book, a true recipe book. Yeah. It's got flour and sugar.
Exactly. And I say, if you're the type of person who likes to take a bath and it falls in the bathtub, it's not that expensive. Mm-hmm. You can replace it.
Exactly. It adds character.
Exactly.
Obviously we're heading into the spring season I really want to talk about some of the things, you know, grasses, but also what are some of the things that you're seeing? Because a couple weeks ago Colin was saying he's already seeing some of his perennials coming up. Are you seeing some of the same?
Yes, and some of them are early. Anything up to 2 weeks earlier than we would normally think. For instance, my hepatica, whether it's in full shade or in sun, because hepatica is such a versatile one, it's in full bloom right now. And usually I don't think of hepatica as blooming before the first week of May.
No.
Yeah. So I think we're 2 weeks ahead.
My daily, it's funny because I liked what you said there, some things and some things not, because my day lilies are huge now.
Yes, exactly.
Everything is up in the garden. And yet I still... I've seen tulips, haven't seen a tulip flower yet.
I've seen daffodils flower.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
That was in a nice little courtyard area.
Okay.
So a little bit of a
little
sun.
Heat trap. Little
yeah.
Heat
yeah.
Heat
yeah.
Heat
yeah.
Heat
yeah. Heat. Yeah. But what I haven't seen out are the queen bees.
Oh. No, I haven't really either, actually. Oh, wow.
I've seen a couple of bees.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen lots of flies and things like that. A couple of ladybugs and stuff.
Yep.
But the queen bees aren't out yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen them either.
No, you know what? Now that you've I hadn't even considered that. Because, I cleaned up my yard. Nothing deep.
Yeah.
I saw the usual culprits, centipedes, ladybugs.
But not the bees yet.
No.
So that tells me that they're still on regular time.
Yeah. I saw some dandelions the other day. And I was super happy. My first clutch of dandelions.
I haven't even seen those yet. Yeah.
So, you know, I figure that probably by the first week of May, then we're going to have our lady beetle, our queen bees.
Queen bees.
So from that perspective, as soon as I see the queen bees, that tells me I can get gardening. Because right now I'm not gardening. I'm wandering around the garden, poking and peering. This is coming up.
Yeah.
And, you know,
likely as you're walking, you're like, I'll just clean this area up a little.
Slap your hands. Don't touch nothing because it's too early yet.
Yeah. You know, I still left my winter pile.
Yeah.
I even told my dog off. He was digging in it the other day.
You know, and when you walk on the grass is still, this ground is still thawing out.
You can feel it. So,
and I poked a salt thermometer into a raised bed the other day, thinking, oh, it's going to be 5 degrees centigrade. No, it was only one.
Oh, I believe it.
You know?
But still, I had somebody asking me about, we do, it's wonderful to see, we've noticed this this trend over the last 3 or 4 years. So many people are turning to biological controls instead of chemicals.
Yes.
And everybody wants to get a jump start on their nematodes.
Right. Yes.
But the soil has to be 10 degrees.
Yes.
And people are like, can I put them out? Can I?
It's like, no,
just wait.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait until June. You know?
I get it.
We want to.
Yeah. I'm guilty too. I've done more than you.
Yeah.
I've already cleaned up some of my garden. I didn't slap my hands. I was like, clean up this area.
Yeah, but you
know,
shouldn't be.
Whatever, Janet's not looking. But I'm still waiting. You know, I've turned a couple of beds. I've done some light things, but my winter pile is still there.
Yeah.
I haven't done anything major. I haven't pruned anything.
Trimmed.
Exactly.
Oh, I like that. You
And that's
the word.
Yeah, you know, bend a few stems off, but that's about it. But no, not getting in the soil yet.
You briefly talked about your lawn. And when we're talking about grasses and sort of the spring chores that you can be doing, what kinds of things would you recommend our listeners and viewers do?
Okay, as soon as the queen bees come out.
Yes, as soon as the queen bees come out.
All right.
Yes.
Well, if you do have a lawn, I'm very, very good at killing lawns, so I have no lawn. So assuming you have a lawn, to me, it's a light rake, just getting rid of the winter debris.
Yeah.
You know, and if you've got snow mold, you want to rake that up. And
bowl damage like we have at the community garden. Yeah. It's absolutely insane this year. Yeah. So, yeah. Bowls so we're going to have to give it a good rake. Absolutely.
You know, and, but not a
no.
You know.
No. Lift the grass blades, get some air.
Just get that debris out.
Get some air. Get the debris out. To me, that would be my first thing if I had a lawn.
Yeah.
For me, the next thing is I don't cut my perennials down in the fall. I let them stay up. So now I'm going to start bending over and removing some of the stems and just tidying things up a little bit. So to me, that's going to be probably for the next couple of weeks.
Exactly.
In my edible beds, as soon as the soil warms up to 2 to 5 degrees centigrade, that's time to start getting all the cool season veggies sowed in. That to me is more important than the others.
Yeah,
the rest can wait. In fact, there's been years where I never did clear up last year's perennial debris. It just grows through.
Yeah.
They just go through it. So
I didn't get to my winter piles last year. I had two big winter piles and I didn't get to them.
Yeah.
The lawn had fully greened up and I raked them and it's that horrible.
Exactly.
Get rid of this now.
Yeah.
But it kept getting cold at night and there were frost warnings. I didn't want my little bugs to die. I wanted them to have a home.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, so to me, I'm keeping an eye on the soil temperature. I want to get my spinach in, my radishes, my arugulas, things like that. So that's going to be what's going to preoccupy me. Mm-hmm. Get my tongue around that one over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about grasses, because one of the really interesting things I found in your book was that there are so many different types of grasses, like I said. My intention was like, wow, there's four grasses. So you, in your book, you go through pond grasses, you go through turf grasses, different kinds of, like in just lawn, there's specific types of lawn seed that are really good for prairie gardeners.
Yes.
And then also edible grasses?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
So this was something interesting, because usually when we think of grasses, we're like, oh, Carl Forrester, purple, you know, all of these, like Dracaena, or, you know, like just like different kinds of grasses that we would see as ornamental purposes, but like corn?
I think came out,
corn's a grass?
Yes.
I didn't even realize it. How?
That's a great question. Like, corn's grass, hey, so how?
Because like, when I was reading, I was like, oh yeah, wheat, barley, the things my husband can't have because he's celiac. But I was like, corn?
Yes.
I'm like, oh, okay, so how is that a grass?
Well,
it's a monocot.
It's a monocot.
For starters.
So meaning,
it's a story of about 8,000 years in the making. It's because, of course, you had the original, the wild species, right? And it would have been more grass-like with small heads and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been necessarily what we are growing now,
But, you know, man discovers corn and likes the taste of it, and so it starts breeding it. And what do we want? We want bigger cobs of corn. So, you know, we want more of the seeds. So essentially, I think corn, quite honestly, an 8,000-year journey.
Yep.
I'm not sure if it's 8,000, if you know what I mean. At least 4,000. Where we have selectively bred this thing for the seeds.
Yeah. And you're right, I've seen a picture of original corn.
And it would have been regular.
Like
it would look like grass. Out of
five little
grass.
Kernels on it. And
It wasn't.
And you wonder who saw that and was and got it.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. And then you wonder who was the first person who popped it.
That's the other one. Exactly. That's the other one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so funny when I'm working with the little kiddies, you know, do you eat seeds? No, we don't eat seeds.
It's wait a minute.
Do you eat beans? Do you eat peas?
Yep.
Do you eat corn?
Yeah.
Corn?
Yeah.
Do you eat popcorn?
Of course. You do.
So I guess then the next question for grasses is, have we tried exploding other grasses and seeing how delicious they are?
Not to my knowledge.
Well, looks like I got my work cut out.
Next
popcorn.
Okay.
Grasses.
That's my takeaway.
If you don't get it, it'll be good.
Yeah.
No, that's really cool. I think what's interesting is that grass is really all around us, right?
It is. Well, it's rice, the wild rice that's in Manitoba, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, and we tend to think of wheat and barley and rye as grains.
Yeah.
We don't realize the whole plant is a grass.
Because we refer to the pod that's useful to us.
Exactly. Yep.
That's right.
Exactly.
So we've kind of forgotten the backstory.
The rest of it.
And we can grow, of course, if we want to devote a raised bed, for instance, or a small patch of your garden, and grow some wheat to make a loaf of bread. Mm-hmm. Be my guest.
Yeah.
Okay, that was really cool. That speaks to me for sure. I loved in your book, you're like, you'll need a lot.
Yeah, you will. That's the unfortunate bit. You do need a lot.
Yeah. Four people at home are probably like, oh, okay. Yeah. They find like one plant.
One plant is like, oh, no, that's not going to work.
A bit.
You need a lot.
Maybe if you want to make like a Timbit.
Yeah.
Not even. I've actually seen, there was a garden years ago in Montreal. And I'm not sure where the people were from. We landscaped it. And I never thought to ask them. And they actually had wheat just as an ornamental in their garden. And they were the only one.
Why not?
It's a gorgeous plant.
And instantly recognizable. Nice. The amount of people that would be like, is that wheat?
Yes. Exactly.
Because you don't expect it in the landscape. Mm-hmm. You don't expect it in these beautiful, like, urban landscaped gardens. You know, topiaries and Japanese maples. But it really stood out.
It would.
And it looked amazing in the autumn, too.
Well, exactly.
It's such that gorgeous tan color.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and the other one I like is oats, for instance, with the droopy heads.
Well, and the nice thing is, too, they have that aesthetic appeal because they sway in the wind. You got that whole feeling with it, right?
Yeah. So, and if there's enough, you'll get that rattle.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yes. So, I mean, it's...
You know, like grasses, we for years and years, grasses was the lawn, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we would never, ever think of planting grasses in our garden beds.
Yeah.
Never.
Nope.
But, you know, and then we got in the blue oat grass and the Carl Forster, which is overused, and the blue fescues, but those were the only three you would have, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now, over the last 5 years, every year there's more.
The doors are opening.
Yep.
And as our climate's moderating, we can grow more grasses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, there's still the perennial ones, which are perennial to us. And then the annual ones, which are usually perennial to somebody else.
Yes.
Right, but annual to us.
Yeah.
But over the years, we have much more of a power.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because Brandy and I were talking about this about half an hour before you guys got here, and we were kind of discussing the podcast and grasses. They are either ridiculously overused or massively underutilized in the landscape.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's true. That's
There's no
balance.
Exactly. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys are seeing that change?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I'm seeing a lot more, especially, I don't know, I'm talking to a lot of people who are trying to put more grasses in their own gardens. They're talking to me about landscaping more with grasses. They're actually thinking about mixing them with other perennial, like perennial flowers, that kind of thing. They're trying to implement them, put them in between shrubs, that kind of thing. So they're using all different kinds, and we're seeing them more and more in containers, annual grasses in containers.
Containers.
So that seems to be a big trend, because they look so beautiful.
Yeah.
They withstand the weather a little bit better, you know, that kind of thing. They look beautiful when they're swaying in the wind, like I was saying. So it's all of those factors, and we are seeing this, and we're talking to people
who are
bringing that in, you know?
Because grasses have, when we think of grass, a lot of people, I think, were guilty, and like you were saying, not realizing how many there were.
Yeah.
And you say to the average person, grass, they're going to think Kentucky blue.
Well, yeah, exactly,
okay?
Right?
And we think these root systems, and if it doesn't get watered every day, it goes dormant.
Exactly.
But these grasses, the prairie grasses, those roots would be 8 foot, 10 foot deep.
Yeah.
Like they held the soil.
Exactly.
That was their function.
Exactly.
Exactly.
They held the prairies together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and we wonder why we've got dust bowls and everything happening now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So these grasses, they're ornamental, they're beautiful, and once they're established, I imagine they take significantly less water.
Oh,
well,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
that's the key, right?
And it's interesting, because we used to think prairies, deep roots, and so that they draw the water from deep. But no, actually, grasses, most of them, they still draw most of their water from the 60 centimeters level. But the deep roots are there, literally, as you say, to hold the prairies together.
Mm-hmm.
And it holds our gardens together.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the massive roots that they have absorb and retain all of that moisture.
Mm.
So grasses for us is a natural. We are part of the grasslands biome.
Yep. Yeah.
Why are we ignoring something?
Yeah, especially exactly. When you can do it on exactly. A mental.
Right, yes. Exactly, yeah.
You so, know, and the functions that they provide in the landscape, you know, from habitat, you yep. know, wildlife corridors. Yeah. I can see my cats wandering through the corridors no, in my gosh. You know, so and the skunks too.
Yeah. But they're a good habitat right? For the small prairie birds.
Well, that's exactly yeah. It. Yes. You know,
they can dart in where the bigger birds no, can't get into them, so they've got safety. Exactly. Those little birds that you see holding onto a blade yeah. Of grass.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you know, so we need to employ what's natural to our biome for our world. And we've been ignoring it. We've been relegating it. It's just a native plant. It's weedy. It doesn't behave itself, yep. Whatever.
Yeah.
But when you start really looking at them, then you see all the different shapes of them and the seed heads, the flowers. Mm-hmm. We can also source grasses from other temperate climates. So they might not be native to us, but they were native to over here,
right.
And they'll survive beautifully here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're seeing the diversity come into us.
Yeah, there's so much more on you know, being offered.
I've only ever seen it done once, and I think it was in Ottawa, don't hold me to mm-hmm. this, and it was an entire ornamental bed,
mm.
And it was filled with all different ornamental grasses.
Oh, really? Beautiful.
Yes. Breathtaking. Gorgeous.
Stunning.
It was,
that would be great. Well, that's the thing. That's
it was inspiring.
Yes. Yeah.
And then all through the seasons too, right? You think about grasses and everybody goes, well, it's just, you know, the value when they're green. No, it's the whole seasonality of grasses.
That's your
some
favorite.
Of them change to really, really beautiful, bold colors in the fall, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you get and these goldens and the reds and the feather heads. Yeah.
And they hold like, their I mean, shape right? In the winter.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's so many benefits just from an aesthetic point of view. And then you've got all the rest too.
That's what
so,
you were talking about.
You guys are making like a grass romance novel. It sounds so romantic though, right? The fact that you can enjoy grasses because it's good for the wildlife. It's good for that seasonal interest. And I think as like gardeners, especially if you're looking at ways to enjoy your home mm-hmm. in the seasonal climate like us, having things that do change and something to look forward to in the fall is really interesting.
It is.
And I also have heard of people even harvesting their grass in the fall, bringing it inside. Yeah. And
well, that's the thing. Treating it like a cut flower, basically, but a dried grass to decorate with. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and you see them in the big vases and stuff. Yeah.
Why not?
We may as well. So,
I've got some miscanthus. Thank you. in a wicker basket, and it's been in my house for years.
So let me ask you a question, Janet. I want, if you can, to answer this a little bit more. When you said behaving themselves, because we hear it a lot where people get a grass and they go, I love it, but they buy it in the 4-inch or the 9-centimeter pot.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden,
at the end of the season, it's like, woo!
And then
next season.
Yeah.
And how do we regulate that?
Well, I think there's two ones. One, you got to know the grasses because they fall into roughly two groups. One is what we call the running grasses, and those are the ones that run.
Yeah.
Okay, so lyme grass, ribbon grass, okay? Those are the rhizomic ones. And if you've got a space to fill, go for it, right?
If you want
to not have them overrun your garden, go for the clumping grasses. So these are the fibrous-rooted ones. Carl Forrester.
We can't talk about grasses without bringing them up, right?
And actually, you know, ever since I learned that Carl Forrester was one of the first people to advocate including grasses as an ornamental in our beds,
mm-hmm.
in fact, he called grasses the hair of earth. The hair of Mother Earth.
Yeah. So,
and isn't that like a gorgeous way
it's
of saying
so nice.
It?
Yeah.
So ever since then, I've quite liked Carl Forster grass because it was named after him, right?
Yep.
So it behaves itself. It's a clumping grass.
Stays where it is.
Yeah. Yes, it incrementally gets bigger, but after about 3 or 4 years, probably the center is dying out. So why not
divide it,
four chunks. You've got four plants.
And grasses are ridiculously easy to divide.
Well, that's the thing too, right? I mean, I think people get that if you feel daunted by it, don't, because they are really easy to divide.
It's
easier than your average perennial flower, right?
I don't want to say be rough with them to the people watching and listening, but I've I've divided nearly every perennial there is, and grasses are the easiest.
Yeah. They really
you
are.
Just take your edge ray shovel and just jump them on it.
No, pretty much, tough. Right?
They
yeah,
are.
They are. Well, they that's are. The thing. They'll yep. rebound, they'll be fine.
And we're going to need tough.
Yep.
You know, we need tough, we need resiliency, we need them to contribute to the landscape. Water, 100%. We should not ignore these
nope.
guys.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, too, are especially, again, because they evolved to be in this climate over millennia.
Yeah.
So they are more resistant to the bugs and disease
yeah.
that are in this climate
right.
than
yeah.
other plants that we've brought
exactly.
in that are susceptible to whatever
exactly.
bugs or diseases that are here.
Mm-hmm. You know, and really in the book, where we were searching for what is going to affect our grasses,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's not a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah,
no.
we were, the pests and diseases chapter, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but it's a little bit sparser than some of the others because of that, yeah.
It's
yeah.
sparse, just, but you do also have a lot of information. I really loved, like, how you even got pictures. Because, like, don't you, you know, when people go out to their lawn, for example, and they're
yep.
looking at whatever they have, and they're just like, I see this thing, but then they try to Google that thing,
yeah,
and it's
yeah.
just like,
it's like,
you're not
how do
looking
I,
up the
how do I
thing.
Search up the, what are the keywords?
Exactly,
I use for
exactly.
This?
But you go right into it, like, chinch bug, which I think was, like, one of the
yeah,
biggest last
ones last year.
Year.
Yeah,
last
year. It will be this
bug,
year.
It will
yeah.
be again this year, yeah, just because of conditions, so.
Yeah,
it will be this year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and when I saw one sitting there on my trowel,
yeah.
I went, oh.
That's the other thing. The pictures, we've taken almost all the photos in all of the books. So it's something that we've gone
oh,
through.
That's
we've
incredible.
Seen. We've mm-hmm. This is something that we've experienced. Like these are not stock photos. These are pictures that we have taken.
Yep.
So
including mealybugs.
Like, yeah, including mealybugs. And we were just talking about mealybugs when we were driving over here. So, I mean, this is the thing. We get in there and do it. So, and we notice things like that, right? We pay
yes,
attention.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we did, again, really good with the biologicals last
yes.
year.
Yeah.
We couldn't keep chinch bug nematodes in
right.
stock.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
a lot of, the Ampbuster one is doing great for us. And
okay.
people ask, they go, how do I know it's working? And I go, you see less ants.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
You know,
that's the
and,
thing.
And it's, so does it kill ants?
Yep, they are pretty nefarious. They go down into the nest and they get into the eggs and they eat them. And then
okay.
if there's more, so they just keep depleting the nest.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I give some to somebody I work with. They were telling me they had an ant's nest. And they couldn't get to it
yes.
because
oh,
if it was
right.
under their
yeah.
deck.
Right, right.
And they're like,
yeah.
I can't dig
get
it out.
To,
I can't
yeah.
do anything.
Can't get in there. Yeah.
I said, does your deck have slats? They said, yeah. And I said, okay, water the nematodes through.
Throw them in there.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So they did
yeah.
that. And they were like, wow, what a difference.
Sense.
I'm not having ants
yeah.
all over my deck. See one or two.
Yeah,
but not yeah.
exactly. They're
yeah.
not gonna. They're not gonna.
They're not gonna
wipe
go away.
Them out.
You're not
exactly.
Going to. Yeah, it's
but
so,
you're controlling
yeah.
them.
Yeah, you're basically. I always like it when we think we're controlling ants. I think that's sort of an oxymoron. But anyway,
we're inspiring them in different ways.
There we go.
We're moving them along.
Yeah.
but for me, yes, a lot of people do. They've got ants in their lawns and things like that. So how do we manage these? These very beneficial insects
yeah.
yep.
that are too much of a good thing.
Yep.
And usually,
yeah.
you know, when you mow your lawn and you end up with ant bites, not a good plan for either the ants or for you. So yeah, let's figure a way of
the only,
working
with
it.
Yep.
Only time I've ever really dealt with ants as a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One time my mom had a clematis. She absolutely adored, and the ants
yes.
built a
took
nest
this.
Directly under it, and they chewed all the roots off
because
oh,
yeah.
they were in their way.
Okay. Yeah.
I
yeah.
took care of that because I had to save
yeah.
my mom's clematis,
yeah.
and then there was another one right where we wanted to enjoy the garden.
Yes.
And
so
every time
ants,
we sat
yeah.
there, you'd
yeah.
sit and
yeah,
ants.
They'd be crawling all
so
yeah.
wrong.
So,
you know,
yeah.
basically
yeah.
the interaction
yeah.
is conflict.
Yeah.
So
we're like,
change the conflict.
Yeah. Can you move along?
Yeah.
Go anywhere else.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that because, like you said, they are huge. They're indicators of other garden stress. They turn the soil.
Yeah.
They aerate the soil. They
yeah.
are...
Disperse seeds.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're not going to eat your plants.
No.
They have no interest
exactly
in your plants whatsoever.
Yeah.
And they really have no interest in you.
No.
You're
no,
standing on their home.
Yeah.
That's why they're crawling
yeah.
up your...
Yeah. You know,
exactly.
They're afraid to get a little
yeah.
like,
burglar.
They're not coming in my house at night when I'm sleeping and slapping me awake. We might need another discussion there. But if somebody comes and stands on my house, I have a right to go on the roof and be like, what is up, dude?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, one of my favorite control techniques for ants is you take a bucket.
Yeah, this is a good one.
So it's got holes in the bottom, and you fill it up with a mixture of soil and frosted flakes, right?
Frosted flakes.
Yeah. The sugar, yeah.
Sugar.
Or Fruit Loops.
I prefer frosted flakes. And then you just place it on top of the ant's nest. Well, where are they going to go? Mm-hmm. And when the bucket's full of ants, take it and put it somewhere else.
That's so smart.
Okay, that's my thing. I learned enough. I'm out of here. All my decades, I've never. Yeah. I have an ant's nest that doesn't bother me, and I want to try that on them.
Just to see.
Yeah.
Just to see.
I'll just take them on a walk around the garden and take them home again.
Take them home afterwards.
And it works. You know?
Of course. I never even thought. Because you've got the soil is protecting them. They don't feel exposed.
It doesn't hurt them. It just moves them.
Just move them along.
And it moves them en masse. So
and I usually move them into the back alley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we kind of wrap things up, I really want to chat just with, you know, if somebody is really inspired by today's episode and they want to get started with grasses in their garden, how do you recommend them approaching that?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, right? I mean, it's lawns, it's ornamental, it's ponds. Yeah. You can incorporate
them. There's a lot.
Like, wherever you want.
Right.
To me, I would go and visit some public gardens.
Okay.
That really get some inspiration from that.
And one is Brandy's Jam.
That's my favorite thing.
I don't know if you know of the Fire Chief Garden. It's a rooftop garden down near the Delta Hotel on 4th Avenue. It's a rooftop garden, and it's a full-on prairie biome with grasses.
And I don't think they water it.
How do you get in?
Like
it's open?
Walk up
you just
steps.
Walk up the steps. Yeah.
Do you know I fly over that building every day? I've never seen it.
Field trip.
So, you know, and then I would go to garden centers and I would say, and I'd look and see what the offerings are because there's no point in hankering after something that's not available.
Yep.
Yeah.
Though you can ask if they can bring it in next year type of stuff. But I would be looking for the form that is appealing to me. Mm-hmm. I would want to learn a little bit what's the flowers going to look like. We don't think of flowers with grasses.
No.
But the form, the flowers, what color is it going to be in the fall? How tall is it going to be? No point in putting a blue fescue when you need to have
You've got a space in the back of your bed and you're putting your blue fescue.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, so I would investigate. And I'd also, what do I want them to achieve in my landscape?
Oh.
Yeah,
what kind of role they're going to perform.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and how
do you
want
clumping?
To use
them. Do you want spreading?
Exactly.
Are you naturalizing an area or is it a showpiece?
Exactly.
You know, do I want it to be formal or informal? Am I going to do a naturalistic type of design or am I once again wanting something that's a little bit more neat and tidy?
I was telling Brandy, in my neck of the woods, I have to remember where it is and take a picture. But somebody, they're two houses, but they share a common lawn.
Yes.
Okay.
And they divided the lawn with a hedge, but they used Carl Forrester's as a hedge.
Right.
Wonderful.
Stunning.
Absolutely.
You know,
it makes a great hedge.
It's a gorgeous grass.
And it's
right?
not, it feels. It there's a definite delineation.
Yeah,
there's a clear boundary.
But it doesn't feel severe.
Exactly.
You know, like it's not. Yeah.
It feels like you can gently talk through it.
Yeah.
It's not a big block,
big
cotoneasta or a fence.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So and it's really beautiful. I remember seeing that and I was like, I like that a lot.
Yeah. That's a really good idea.
So we can do all sorts of things with them, right? They can serve as perceived privacy even.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know,
you can mix them with other plants, you know, like I was saying earlier, put them with some perennial flowers, put them with some shrubs, you know, that kind of thing.
When you're talking about putting them with other perennials and you know, they do get bigger, so but that's every perennial
you
have to plan.
You absolutely have to plan that out. Yeah,
but those big root systems, when they're going into the garden and they're drinking up a lot of water, Can the other perennials leech off of that? Like, is there like a symbiotic relationship, or is the grass like, because the spruces, right?
Yeah,
spruces like all that's, for me, none for you.
Yeah, well, that's a woody plant, right?
Yeah, but the grasses are they more benevolent?
More compatible. That's a good word.
Cool.
Yeah, okay. And quite cooperative too. So it's not a hog type scenario at all.
Yeah.
I never seem to encounter that, and I've got quite a number of them in my garden. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Like a small space garden, though? Like, how can you incorporate grasses in a small space?
Well, I think, for example, on my balcony last year, I did a couple containers, and I did mixed grasses mixed with herbs and a few other little things. Did them all together. I did some corkscrew grass and some little pretty annual grasses.
Yeah.
And yeah, absolutely. So it can be done. It's
Is that corkscrew the one?
Corkscrew's that really twisty.
The twisty one. Oh,
exactly.
Those are so cool.
So I mean, very, very fun, right? And you just, absolutely. So yeah. Just experiment with whatever you got, you know? Mm-hmm.
These days, I seldom do a container without a grass.
Yeah, I think they just give that a little elegance, right? Yeah. So,
and I do like the little bunny one.
Yeah, the bunny one is adorable.
And bunny grass?
Yeah.
You're going to Google now.
It's got a little fuzzy.
Brandy hasn't even seen it. It's just like, this is what I am buying.
Look at this. I'm going to put up a picture. Look at that.
So yeah, absolutely.
Have you got your new grass for your house? Yeah.
So just experiment with those kinds of things. What is the other one that everybody's been using? Papyrus.
Yes.
So that's another one that everybody's been using.
It's
very
a lovely,
dramatic, very, you know,
exactly. And I actually overwent it.
You overwent it? I know you did. You were saying you did.
I took it out of the container, and it's been under grow lights. And it's had a couple of accidents, but it's come back twice.
Yeah.
And it's still alive.
That's the other great thing about grasses. You know, we talked about this. Cut them back, divide them, fire, whatever, and they keep coming back. Because that's the other part of that root system is the energy it holds in it. Everything it's got. And, you know, that's why a lot of people can say, oh, these grasses are problem grass.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they keep coming back, which is another great thing for, you know, maybe some of the more amateur gardeners who have a problem with maybe killing their garden.
Yeah, this might be a good
little bit too much water. They got you under control.
Yeah.
Not enough water. Yeah. They got it under control. They're pretty. They're like the hippie of the garden.
Yeah. They're pretty darn resilient.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah. You know, they just kind of take whatever comes their way. Heavy wind, you don't have to worry about
them
breaking.
Well, that's the thing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you can see them almost lying flat. The wind stops and
they're going to be okay again.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's the thing.
So, no, to me, it's a bit of a love affair.
And that was exactly where I was going. I hope that our listeners and viewers taking this episode as like a love story for grasses, because if you were like me and didn't know that there are more than four kinds of grasses, then I really hope that you will pick up this book and learn. Because how many pages are in this book? Like
160.
Right out of the gate.
Right? I would be very surprised if there were only four species of grass.
Yeah.
Right?
Each species of grass got 40 pages, Brandy.
So, obviously, Grasses is your most recent book, right?
Yep.
What was the other one that was...
Herbs.
And we have herbs here as
Do
well.
Do we have that one? I'll show that one.
Yeah.
And I love, by the way, love the images.
Oh, aren't they gorgeous?
Yeah.
They're so timeless.
Artists. Yeah.
We don't do those.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's give the artist a shout out.
Yes. So our artist is Tree Abraham. She's out of the States. She's a book cover designer, and she does a lot of different kinds of artwork. So
she does all of your plant artwork, and her
name
is Tree.
She does all the tree. Yes. Isn't that the best thing ever?
It's the best thing ever. Hire a sight unseen.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Tree then, because these are I love how they're all different. I love the color schemes.
Yeah.
You guys nailed
it.
Isn't that just so beautiful?
Go and check them out. Everything will be in our show notes. So goldenacre.ca/podcast, and then we have all of our show notes there, and you can get all of the links to go check out Cheryl and Janet and what they're doing. Links to purchase the books as well. And that wraps us up for this week. If you're listening on Spotify, make sure to give us your perspective on our polls and question of the week. You can also leave us an anonymous voice voicemail over at goldenacre.ca/podcast. We'd love to hear from you. We're on YouTube now. So we have a video out. We are on Spotify. We are everywhere.
We're not hard to find,
dog. We're not hard to find. And this is the best time of year because we have a whole bunch more spring content. Thank you so much to Cheryl and Janet for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having us.
It's a lot of fun, and it's really nice to meet one of the two coolest ladies in the world.
It's been an absolute pleasure. When you were like wrapping it up, I'm like, what are you talking about? Way more to talk about.
Maybe we'll do a different episode for every book and get through the stack.
Whatever, let's all thank Brandy the Killjoy for ending this episode.
Thank you so much for making our podcast what it is today and for making the world a more planty place. We'll see you next Sunday.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.